I'm just gonna restart my timer so I know where I'm at. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. How was lunch? Everyone enjoy those giant pickles? I know I did. Yeah? Awesome. This session is about UI testing. Therefore, do you UI test? So before I start, this is my favorite question in the world. This is an easy one. How many people write tests? Show of hands. Everyone on the stream, that's quite a few hands. I'm surprised. I'm very happy. Okay. Now, how many of you UI test? Not bad. Not bad. That's awesome. Well, so this session is basically, so I'm not going to be doing the basics of how UI tests work. There's a bunch of content out there already for that. It's super simple. It's an Xamarin UI test. The framework I'll be talking about today is literally just made for making UI tests super simple and super great. So what we're talking about today is best practices and how to write something that was talked about a lot in the keynote today, cross-platform UI tests. So who am I? I'm pretty sure no one knows me. I'm not as famous as Moths. But I'm Sweeki. I work in what we call the DevDev customer advisory team. And I'm in the subset that's called the mobile customer advisory team. And we're a really cool bunch of people. We love Xamarin. We love mobile. And we work in making customers happy. And we work in making our products better. So we drive a lot of feedback. So anything you want to say, you want to discuss, mobile, you want to discuss, sneakers, whatever, just come find me. I work out of the San Francisco office. I am known to code for candy. So if you ever want me to write UI tests, you know how to bribe me. And I am a diehard Microsoft and a diehard Xamarin fan. Now that you know who I am, follow me on Twitter, be my friend. Let's get down to testing, right? So, Xamarin UI test. For those not familiar, it's a NUnit based unit testing framework, but in C#, and it allows you to write UI tests. It's aimed to be used with mobile platforms, so your apps don't always have to be a Xamarin app. So they can be a React Native app, they can be a native Android or iOS app. You can still write UI tests for them. And if you're familiar with how NUnit works, the syntax for the tests will look pretty familiar to you. So there's a test fixture tag, there's a test tag. You're doing some setup before a test. You run the test, and then you can have something that happens after the test. Pretty straightforward. Xamarin UI test, you can run these tests locally. And then if you want, you can use the App Center test service and then run your tests on our device labs. And it also integrates really well with your CI/CD pipelines, which is my favorite part of the whole process. So the description of the talk said a lot about POP, or the page object pattern. So what is this exactly, right? So let's talk of it this way. Mobile apps usually come with a bunch of different views, right? When we actually write our Xamarin apps, we have a bunch of views. Then we have, if it's MVVM, you have your views, and you have like the code behind for each view, this and that. So simple concept. Think of your app being a bunch of different pages. So when you want to write the UI tests with the page object pattern, we're going to treat each page individually as its own independent class. So elements on that page live in this class. Interactions you can do with these elements live within that same class. So if you have a button on page A, all the code in page A's class would be a query on how the system will find that button, and whatever method to interact with the button. So click on a button, or if it's a list, so swipe on a list. All those methods for that one page live there. Page B for your app, separate class altogether, has its own things, right? The main idea behind doing this is the fact that since you're separating out all these pages, it's really, really easy to maintain. So suppose you go in and you make a change just to like maybe the settings page in your app. All you have to go do is go to the settings page of your test and just update the values there, and that's it. Your tests are back to running again. Super easy to maintain, super easy to scale out, and then comes my best favorite part of this pattern. It makes it cross-platform. So that same page can exist on iOS or Android, and then what could be the possible differentiating factor here? On Android, it could the button could have a separate sort of query at the most, or maybe there's a little bit of a touch behavior that's different. So you can handle that in your code with the on-device checks, right? So again, super simple, super easy to set up, and we'll see more about it now. So what I was talking about, sort of visually just imagining the whole thing. So these are different pages of your app. Take each page and turn each page into a class. That's literally how the first steps of writing the page object pattern starts, right? So if you want to be a little more fancy about it, when you're done setting up the whole architecture pattern and when you go back and you look at your tests, there's never going to be a point that you feel like, oh, what did I write? What does this mean? There's going to be a direct correlation between your app and your tests. So it just makes it so much nicer, right, to write your tests. I feel like it just encourages everyone to just sort of maintain and write good UI tests, which I think is very, very important. And if I can, I'm just going to say it. I say this all the time, but we live in the era of mobile apps, and we live in the era of making customers and your users really happy with your mobile apps. If you're not UI testing them, there's a minimum subset of 10% who are not getting the best visual look of your app just because you never tested it on that one obsolete phone that someone's using. And that's where you can leverage UI Test and App Center and make sure that your app looks beautiful and runs really well on all the different platforms that you're trying to support, right? So the next awesome thing about the page object pattern is, if you've written UI tests before, or if you've not, this is basically what like a simple UI test looks like, right? So you have, like I said, it's very similar to the end unit pattern, right? So you have the setup, then you have the actual test. And in the test, if you look, it has a really long line that says app.tap, and then it's trying to find an element on the screen by its ID, right? The beauty of using the page object pattern is it makes it a little more generic in the sense that, remember those pages I was talking about? It literally becomes, in the login page, look for, perform the login action, and then use this username and password. So it makes it easier to read also. So again, if anyone who's not done testing before is not really, oh my god, how am I going to write a C# test? They can just come in and be like, oh, this kind of just reads like English. This isn't so hard to understand. I know what's going on in this test, right? So I can keep going on and on like this, but this isn't any fun. What I'm actually going to do now is I'm going to switch over and actually write a page object pattern test for you right now. Because who doesn't like some live coding, right? So while I get this thing set up, so this has become a side hobby of mine. But so this is an app that my good friend James Clancy, if you all remember him from Xamarin Evolve 2016, he gave my favorite talk on async and await. Definitely catch that video, it's on YouTube. But he's been working on his Google Music clone. And he's been rewriting his Google, so it was originally only for iOS. He's been rewriting it for Forms. And it's an open source project. He twitches it every Wednesday. You should totally check him out. And I noticed that he's been writing all this great Xamarin Forms code, but guess what he's not been doing? UI testing any of it. So as my contribution to the open source community, we will now write UI tests for Clancy. And Clancy, if you're watching, you are welcome. So before I start, let me show. So I have, again, this is tips and tricks, right? So I'm going to give you tips and tricks. Tip number one, I would always suggest testing on real devices. So you can't see right now, but on this table, I actually have an iPhone and an iOS device connected, and I'm screen mirroring it for you right now. So this is what the app looks like right now. So you get in, you see a list of songs, you can slide up, and you can see this nice little now playing screen. And this is as far as he's got. And if you swipe to the side, look at this beautiful gradient that he's got. And you can look at the side navigation menu. OK, so this is as far as he's got. So let's get some UI tests written for this. OK, so since you can just see my iOS device right now, I'm going to start with iOS. This UI test project that you see on the left over here, this is literally what you get when I do right-click, add, new project, and I pick, if my thing comes up, there we go. So if I pick a UI test project, this is the blank template code that you get. I have not done anything at all. This is as is as you get it. All I have done is in the app initializer, I've just put in a path to where the APK for the Android device is built to, and I put in, since this is on my device, I put in the bundle ID for the iOS app. So that's all you need to do to get started. So to make sure I didn't break anything, let's get the REPL running, because that's step number one, right? So let's get iOS, let's get that test running. So page object pattern. The way the pattern works is it's based off four main pages. If you were to go to our open source, our GitHub repository where we have this set up, there's a sample in there. We have a wiki that goes through everything that I'm discussing right now. So if you forget, just go in and have a read. But literally all the UI, like all page object pattern can be encapsulated into these four pages that I mentioned over there. The app manager, a base test fixture, a base page, and a platform query, right? So, day-to-day basis, why do I have a test failure? Okay, I'm gonna switch over to Android just for a bit and get this running. My device is just disconnect. We got it. I'm just gonna connect this back up. All right, so we have our REPL on the side, which we will use to query for the elements on the screen. We have my app up on the front. But before I do any of that, going back to the page object pattern, right? So those four base pages, day to day, I just come in and just literally just go file new and copy in those pages. But if you want it to be super convenient for you, we have a NuGet package that you can import in, and all that does is just auto injects those four pages that I mentioned, the base test, base page, platform query, and app manager. It just adds that in automatically for you. So I'm going to do that, and if you notice, 1, 2, 3, 4 pages are added in. Let's see what each of them do, because there's small things we have to set up in there. So app manager will turn into the new app initializer. All app manager literally doing is it's just telling the framework, okay, this is where the Android app is and this is where the iOS app is. Since I already had it set up in this code over here, I'm just gonna copy the path because I don't wanna type this out again. All right, let's put this in here. So if you were doing this, another tip, both on Windows and on Mac, you can right click here and add an app project. This will connect into the solutions in your Xamarin. If you're doing a Xamarin app and it's sort of you have your solution with a UI test side by side, you can hook them up to work with each other. I usually avoid doing that mostly because sometimes it can take a few minutes if it's like a really big app for it to sort of start, like, because it'll rebuild the app, deploy it on the device, and then start the test for you. I just like a faster turnaround time. So I usually just make sure like the app's already installed on my device and then I start writing tests. That's a cool little tip that could help you sometimes. Okay, let me get that in here. So, all right, so all I've done in this is, again, just put in the paths to where the APK and the installed bundle ID for my app. I can now get rid of app initializer. I don't need this anymore. So let's delete. Okay, next step. We've got app initializer done. We need to now come in and let's take a look at the base page. So base page, so every page that I was talking about, like each class is a page, so every page is gonna inherit this. All this is doing is it provides you with an on Android and on iOS. So this is how you can do that cross-platform splitting that I was talking about. Another cool thing that the base page does for you is it takes a free screenshot. So if you're gonna run these tests on App Center, usually if you don't have screenshots in your test, if you just upload a test, you're not gonna get a good test result. To make life easy for you, we have an assert on page that's for free. It does it automatically on each page. So on each page that inherits a base page, it's automatically going to verify, hey, is this on the page I'm expecting? Now you'd be wondering, how would the system know, or how are we verifying it's on the page it needs to be? That's with this magic little thing and the fourth file called platform query. So this is what we use in this pattern to make sure you're on the page that you expect it to be. For example, if you're on a login page, most probably some people usually have like the word login or like sign in on that page. So you can just use that as a platform trait to make sure that you're on the page you're expected. So just something unique to that page, just so that you know for sure, okay, I'm on the page I'm expected to be and I can perform the actions on that page. And the nice part is once it verifies you're on that page, it takes a free screenshot for you. So it's like on this page. All right, so that's what base page does. Base test fixture, so every test is going to inherit this. Same process, so we're providing those on iOS and on Android values here. Again, sometimes there are some flows in the app which can differ a little bit between between iOS and Android. So within your test, you can have like a breakup in the flow using these values. And literally, all it does is it grabs the value from App Manager and starts the app for you. That is it. It's super simple, nothing too complicated, nothing too fancy happening over here. The last is the test itself, right? So this was how the initial test looks like, but if you noticed in the test fixture, we're already doing like, you know, all of these tagging things in there. So we can slim down the whole test. It doesn't need all these values. What it'll start looking like is something like this. So your test will literally just inherit base test fixture. Okay, we're passing in the platform so it knows what platform to run on. And then you can have, so the REPL being the read-only eval loop, which lets you sort of query for elements on the screen. So you can have a test that just launches that. And then I have another test already written in here that goes into the homepage. So it's like on the homepage that the apps are on right now. Let me pull up the app again. It will swipe and it will go into the settings tab. Okay, so simple test just to make sure I haven't messed anything up. So the test is there. Let's have a look at what a page, a completed page looks like. We will be writing down this page code, don't worry. So just sort of walking through what to expect. All right, so this is what a page looks like. A few tips here. Aliasing the word query makes life so much nicer. So when you are setting up the different, you know, buttons on the screen, you can simply just do query, or you can even make it into a fancy little func. So that's a cool little tip to have. So we don't have these buttons on the screen, so I'm going to comment this out for now. The next thing you'll notice is it inherits from base page. So if I were to remove this away, the system will automatically be like, no, there's something wrong. I'm not going to let you do this because you need to implement the platform query implementations. Because like I said, it is what drives the system. It is what basically that helps everyone understand that, oh, okay. This is like it. I have the system understand. Sorry, that okay. This is on the page I'm supposed to be, and now I can perform the actions on it. So the home page, that's literally this page that it lands on. It checks for on iOS, it checks for this button. Oh, whoops! I don't have iOS open, do I? Haha. It checks for this button that says GMusic. But if you'll notice, there's no menu add task in Android. So let's find out what the trait could be for Android. So let me get, whoops, where's my REPL? Not my terminal, go away. Okay, so let's see what we have going on in here. In this giant stream of things, this can be a little overwhelming. If you're writing UI tests for the first time, I know a lot of people who don't like looking at REPL, and I don't blame you. This is like a ton of information. Again, few tips and tricks just to make your life easier. Things in these square brackets are usually classes. So if you're querying for a class and you're trying to figure out, oh, if I can't find an ID for a page or an element, I can use the class. This is what you want to use. What I'm going to do is I've actually went in and added a couple of automation IDs. And I see that there's a now playing page and there's a mini player, which is this thing at the bottom. So I'm going to use that as the trait. So let's go in here and replace that. So we have mini player. So the home page looks good enough to me. That's fine. I'm not going to put any method in the home page right now just because we're not doing any action on the home page yet. All we're doing is just sort of swiping into that side menu. All right, so I'm going to go back into the base page for a bit because there's a cool, funky little thing I have here which I'm going to copy over. So what is going on is, so the base page is super powerful. One of the cool things I want to highlight here is, if you look at how this app works, let me pull this up. So you're in the songs view right now. You can switch over to artist. And again, the side menu is still accessible from the same page, right? If I go into genres, again, the side menu is accessible. And I love the whole fact that no one has reacted to my trashy taste in music. You guys are the best. So the thing is, this is a shared page. It's like shared functionality. So let's share the code. So I'm going to put this in my base page. So all this is doing is, this is the select menu method, which is going to do the action of open the menu and select a menu item. And I'm going to put this in the base page because it looks like every single page in this app has access to this base page. So it's going to make my life easier and do that. Another cool trick is the return values of these methods. So if you return the page you're on, you can keep stringing on the methods. Just makes your test look much, much nicer. What we recommend with the page object pattern is, if it's a method that doesn't navigate out of that page, make the return type the page itself. Because that means you're going to continue doing more actions on that page. You don't want to new up a page when you're writing the test. But if you're navigating away from the page, it means that, oh, there's going to be a new page happening after this method is done anyway. So that's when you want to make it void. So that's another cool tip. I don't have my using alias in here, so let me pull that over. So we want to use some funks, and wow, that. Okay, so this seems happy. This looks good. I have a similar thing that does the drag action from the bottom to open up the now playing view. Again, it's a shared action. Whichever page you're on, you should be able to do this action. So again, I've put that in my base page. You'll start noticing things like, we're doing all these principles you would do when you're writing an app, not necessarily when you're writing a test. But the highlight of this whole thing is that writing tests is kind of like writing an app. I mean, if you're smart about it and you make your test suites robust, it just makes writing the tests and maintaining them so much nicer. Cool, so I have base page set up. I have my home page set up. We have our test going, so I'm going to comment out this old test file because we don't need this anymore. And I'm going to pull up, this is our settings thing. Okay, another cool tip. It's all running through NUnit, right? Oh, and yay, we support NUnit 3 now, so woohoo. So you can use NUnit 3 with UI test. Highlight and use every single power that NUnit provides. So use test cases and, you know, optimize your tests. It's like you have all this power there. Don't forget that even though this says Xamarin UI test is running on NUnits, you have all that NUnit functionality available to you. So you can assert, you can use test cases, you can use ignore. You can also use my favorite thing, category, right? And my favorite thing to do with category is to set up tests with smoke tests, nightly tests, dev tests. So if you have your CI/CD set up with the UI tests in it, categorize your tests so you're not running the whole test suite every time. So based, if it's just a dev PR check, just make it run some smoke tests. If it's a daily build, do a subset of your whole suite and call that your daily category of tests. And if it's a nightly build, that's when I'd recommend doing like the whole test end to end, just because no one's working on it and you have all the free compute hours, right? So again, leverage all the cool stuff that, you know, NUnit has to provide. All right, so I'm going to rebuild. I have my REPL open, don't I? Yes, I do. So let's quit out of this. Okay, REPL's good. Tests look happy. So we set up the test case for settings page. And check that out. It now sets it up in the unit test panel. So I'm going to go open up the settings page. Let's see what this looks like. So attempt number 2 with iOS. Let's see how this goes. No, it still doesn't like my iOS device. Why? Okay, let's do this. I'm gonna kill the app, get this up again, I'm gonna clean. Okay, here we go. Come on, don't error out on me. So make all the demo gods happy. So as it's running, let me see what I was going to say. Something I totally planned. Oh yes, it's running now. Yay. Okay. So let's see how this goes. It is opening the app. Should, no, it didn't swipe and select my menu item. I'm so sad now. Okay, let's see what's going on. Swipe right, left. We have the menu. Oh yeah, okay. So didn't expect this to happen, but let's figure out what's going on. Let's debug a test. Okay, so not sure why this isn't working. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna throw in a REPL in here and I'm gonna verify why my test isn't working. Because honestly, I thought this was going to work because I made it work like an hour ago. But okay. This is sort of like how like the completed test. Oh my god, I should remember to kill the app. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so you kind of saw how like the completed look of the test looks like and how there's a bunch of like code share and method sharing that you can do. How would you go about like starting out writing a fresh test suite or maybe converting tests that you already have, right? So step number one would be literally what I just did, add in the UI test. Like you can use the pop package or you can go into GitHub and manually copy over those pages, whatever you like. The second thing is, like I said, you go in, edit the app manager file, delete the old app initializer file, you did all that. You come in, and then the next step literally just is to start creating the pages. So I had homepage already created with the trait in there, but that's literally the next step. So the initial buy-in can be a little expensive because it takes a little bit of time depending on how many pages and how advanced your app is. But the nice part is you can actually split up this work, because it's independent on who's working on it, because everyone who's on that page can just, so you can split up the work of writing each page between like five people. Everyone writes one page, and that's it. You have in the initial setup done. Because once the pages are in, that's all that takes the most time. Then you're just like hooking up the methods to write your tests. Super simple. It's like really straightforward. Okay, so now let's see why my swipe right to left wasn't swiping. So is my code other way around? My code is right to left. Okay, let's see. I have the REPL open. Let's verify. So if it's going right to left, it's not doing anything weird. Okay, let's go left to right. I think you guys are right. I think it is supposed to swipe left to right. There you go. Nice catch. Thank you. The joys of coding online, and none of you are asleep. This is great. I hate doing sessions after lunch because I'm always sure everyone's half asleep. Okay, so the other thing that I did here was I was trying to put in a sample of how a funk would look like, but I overcomplicated things myself. This is literally just doing a string query match to what's in here. So another thing I like to usually do is, since like I said, the initial like setup is just the pages, and the quickest way to find elements on the page, I app.flash like everything. It's my favorite thing in here. So like since I want to just tap on that settings button, if I just app.flash settings, I can just figure out, oh, okay, it's got two settings buttons. I just need to make it go do, that's my exact settings button, that's it. So if you just spend a little bit of time and just keep doing this, it makes setting up those pages like super fast. Because, and also most cases, if you're the one who's written the app, you know what automation ID you attached in Xamarin Forms, or what name or accessibility ID you provided. So you would most probably know the query already. So it should be like super, super fast and super intuitive once you get into it. So I'm going to go grab this and I'm going to change this because it doesn't need to be this complicated, right? So this can literally just be a string and it can just live here. And then I'm going to use, I did not pull that in, did I? Nope, it's right here, okay. Come in. Nope, doesn't like it, why do you not? Oh, okay, wait, this is, hold on. I'm gonna do a little bit of fudging here. Do we have this? Okay. I wanted to show off how to write those, okay, this looks good. Let's change you. And let's change you. Oops, I need my query again. So I'm going to go back in here. And so this was the query, right? And this is, what do I need in here? So I'm going to just make this settings, button. And actually, I don't even need that anymore now that I think about it. I can just come in and do this. I'll throw in my lambda check right in here. So wait for element this. Tap on element this. OK, so this for now will just open up the settings menu, just because I don't want to waste everyone's time. And we're getting close. So let's get this set up here. OK, quit. What's wrong? Okay, so I called it select menu item, but I don't give it a value right now. Okay, let's do this. Is it still running? Okay, so always remember to kill the app, which I forget to do. So let's get this going. I think this is like the slowest part, just waiting for the app to launch. But apart from that, it gets super fast. But so what we're going to do now very quickly is I'll just show you how to set a page up, because that's usually all that you need to sort of just like understand what's happening, and just sort of understand that. Oops, settings. Oh, let me guess. My index is 0, not 1. Yes, my index is 0, not 1. Okay. Oh, there we go. Oops. Well, I want to verify it's the right one too, but okay, it would come in here and you like come into this page, right? But what we're going to actually write the test for, I want to write a test for that now playing screen, right? So let's try this. Let's go in here. Test. Open now playing. I'm going to open up a REPL on that page. While that is, there we go. Oops. Okay. So while that's launching, how would you start with a new page, right? So add new page. So let's call it the now playing page. Everybody good till here? This is what everyone would do. Next step, we're going to inherit from base page. But then it's going to be like, no, you need to have the platform query. OK, throw in the platform query. And so it's up on my page, and it's ready to go. So we can I'll put this back here, get the font up for this. OK, so usually what I do is I never remember like how the platform trade and stuff looks like. I go and open in our sample, or I just go into an already made page and I just like sort of copy this over, because I like to cheat. So I'm gonna do this, come in here, put this in here. All right, so all we have to do now is come in and just change up the trait values per platform, right? So let's see what it could be for iOS. So let's see what we have here. We have a bunch of screens, there's G Music. Oh, but I do have the page ID that says now playing page, which is promising. So I'm going to grab this. So for iOS, I'm going to put this as a page trait, right? And let's quit out of here. And I'm going to pull up Android. And let's do the same thing for Android. So Android settings. And let me just run this test. So initial setup, I'm literally just doing literally what I would do if I was doing this on my own at my desk. So the first step, I'd come in, launch this a couple of times, get all the page traits done. And once I have the page trait values, oh yeah, I need to fix this for Android. Clearly, it's not swiping up right, but tree in here. Let's see what's going on in Android. Let's see. So there's the label. Okay, sorry, come back up. Okay. So there's mini player, there's current song, current artist. I see now playing page again. So let's just borrow the same thing for both, right? Now that that's set up, we can start putting in some values for elements on that screen. So again, go back, let's grab the using alias for this. Now playing page, let's come in here. All right, so the now playing page has a bunch of buttons that I see. So let's see what's going on here. So there's the play button, there's the up and thumbs up, thumbs down, there's the mini player. What I'm going to try and attempt is, let's see if we can get into the shuffle button. So that's this button over here. So there's shuffle, there's repeat play, right? Now, if you notice, this is another issue I've seen. So you may not always have control over like the source code, and you may not always be able to go in there and add automation IDs or add like physical names for things, right? So for example, if I look in here, all I get to see is the bottom grids control. I don't have any specific names for any of those buttons being, so I think that's a custom control that Clancy's used. So I have no values for it. How, like, the best way to do it is just keep drilling down, right? So I'm going to, let's query down from here. So this is called the bottom grids control, right? So I'm going to look at what are the children inside of it first. Okay, so I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, there's a lot of things in there. Okay, let's flash these, because now I'm not sure what's in here. There's so many things. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so in so the bottom grid is this whole bottom area. I don't need the whole bottom area, so I'm going to use the last child, and let's see what's in the, there we go. We're getting closer now, right? So it's not always going to be a happy case where you can write those perfect IDs and, you know, maintain a perfect unique set of identifiers per element on the screen. I wouldn't get too disheartened on that. Having anything and getting just basic tests going is a lot more important than trying to find unique IDs for any element. So as long as the test doesn't break, it's a little brittle at this point, I would agree. But then that's when you can take this test and show it to the team and be like, hey, this is like really useful. Let's start adding, you know, the fact that these are going to be tested, and let's be more mindful, add more names to these things in the future. So let's come in. I think that was the second button. Just going to verify. Yep, that's it. So the next step literally would be, I can just go in here, and this is where the beauty comes in, right? So this is query. So let's call it. So there's the shuffle button. And there is, let's go. What was that? The repeat button. They're kind of next door to each other, right? So let's optimize setting this up. So this is where you initialize the queries for each control on the page. So this is where the cross-platform part of page object plays in. If the query is the same on both platforms, this current one is a great example. I don't think it's going to be the same on each, just because we sort of had to go through like the parent-child of a thing, and UI layouts within iOS and Android can be a little different. So this is a good candidate that, no, this is probably not going to be a shared sort of value, but something like the now playing trait, since it's the same on both platforms, you could just literally come in, just go like shuffle button, and then just like drop the query in here. And that just means that, oh, use the same query value for both platforms. But if it's different for each, let's just separate it out. So just, you know, you if on per platform, kind of like how you would do to, you know, have a certain different settings in iOS and Android and forms, similar sort of concept. So this is what the shuffle button looks like. And we have the repeat button. And the index for that was just the, I think I swapped out the index. So this is 1, this is 2. Put that in and boom, that's it. Okay, you could at this point actually just continue and put down the page methods for this. So like for this page, in now playing, this is play, no, this will be press, say shuffle button. I'm going to return this. only because this is an action that's not navigating me away out of this page. I'm going to stay, and I can continue doing more things on this page. I can after this, I can go and click that thumbs up button. I can go click the share button. I can go click the ellipses button. So this is what I was talking about before. Actions that stay on the page make it return the page type itself. Because when you write a test, it can string along. So another good thing I like to do is I always like to wait for an element to appear before I do any action on it. It's just kind of like a assert it's true or assert if visible, but I just try to use wait for element just because it has a built-in retry mechanism already baked into it from UI test. Makes it super nice, makes my test feel a little more like, you know, I feel better about it before, just to make sure the element's actually been rendered on the screen before I tap on it. So let's just to see what was that called? Repeat button, is that? No, yeah. Press repeat, because I want to show you what the stringing of tests look like. So let's return this. And again, app.waitForRepeat button. And app.tap, repeat button. All right, so now that I have these ready, the next step literally left to do would be I'd relaunch a REPL again, but for iOS this time. And all I would do for iOS is just go in and find the queries for those two buttons. And that's it. My page is set up. That's all you have to do. So this is just all the initial buy-in that you need. This is all the time you'd spend the first time just setting these up. And after that, it's super simple. Because now when I'm going to go add a test, let's add a brand new test. So let's call it now playing test. I'm going to come in here, add in the base test fixture. This needs platform. Going to add this in. Platform. Boom. That's it. You're set up. To write a test, let's put in the test tag. Doesn't have nUnit in here, so let's pull in nUnit. After that, so public void, let's call it XAM dev summit test, because I'm great with names. All right, so coming to the new homepage, and then you want to go open now playing. Boom, that's it. That's my first action. Next thing, now that I've opened now playing, I'm on the now playing page. So new now playing page. What was it? So let's press repeat. And then I want to keep doing actions, and then I'm going to press the shuffle button. And that's it. So your UI tests are like sort of flowing and going and running in through. And maintaining it now, moving forward, just think about it. If you come back after a couple of days or a couple of months and you read this test, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, so I'm testing the functionality for this test. Nothing is ambiguous. Nothing is weird. It all makes sense. It's readable. It's a framework that we use quite a bit. It's popular within my team, and we've had some good feedback sharing it with other people. So that's kind of how like literally implementing it looks like. What did I have left to show? Okay, yeah, so I'm gonna quickly go back here. I covered a lot of it right now when I was talking about it, but just other useful UI test tips. Again, test on real devices like I am right now. It's super, super helpful. If you put breakpoints in your test and you're wondering how to hit those breakpoints, so if you just double click and run a test, it won't hit those. You right click and do debug, and it'll start hitting your breakpoints. I showed you the using statement. I showed you the test cases and categories. This is just other best practices that we like try to share. Keeping each test like sort of independent within itself is a good practice. Don't try chain activities, because suppose one test fails, you don't want like everything else to fail. You want some sort of useful information to come out. Be deterministic. You can put in backdoors, which you can invoke into your apps. So for things like authentication, or you want to mock a data service, backdoors are a great thing to look into. What else? Try not to loop. Use good assertions. So assert elements are visible, wait that elements are visible, wait elements have gone away. Wait fors are great for animations. So if you have a transition animation, putting a wait for and wait for no element is a great thing to use. Avoid thread.sleeps. That's the worst thing you could do. Do not put thread.sleeps. And again, just be careful if you loop. Looping is not your friend. So I went a little bit over time, but I can quickly do questions. So questions. Just come ahead to the mic, it's like, so that everyone else online can hear you too.
So when you mentioned backdoors, you would just then write a method within your code?
Yes, exactly. So you want to keep those for iOS, put them in app delegate, and on Android, put it in your main activity, and then you can invoke that same string name in your test, and you can do whatever you want.
So for the REPLs, is there any future plans to making a visualizer like it, like we have for XAML 3?
Let's talk about it. Come and meet me at the booth, and I'd love to hear ideas. I've heard this feedback, and I'd love to know more, and we can look into something about doing something like that. Yeah.
Another one, in your base page, you did a return this, so
yeah.
Always return the page you're on. So don't we have to wait for it? So if you're doing data loading and your spinner is up before you go into the page, do you have to do something for that specially?
Yeah, so you can totally throw it in that base page. Like that was just one way of using the base page. I just want to highlight the power of having like shared methods in there. You could actually just write an extension or like a helper and then put something like, you know, you're expecting an animation. So just be like, hey, wait for the spinner to go away. So wait for no element and put in the ID to the spinner or just use the spinner class. And then just verify that the spinner has gone away and then start doing your actions. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one last question, maybe it's not really in your area, but you take screenshots. Is there anything that you can do for matching screenshots with previous tests? Like, because if you're doing UI, you want to know that your elements are still on screen instead of off screen. I don't know if you can do that in the REPLs.
Not right now. And again, I've heard of people wanting like a tool that could do that. I think it's a great idea too. Only thing I can think of is if you upload these tests to App Center, it generates those reports for you. So you can, it'll be like a manual check, though there's no automated way to do it. Maybe you can use Cognitive Services and build that tool, and I'd love to help you with it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, I noticed that in one of your tests, you had a drag method with some hard-coded coordinates.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that going to give you problems on different size devices?
It totally is, and not the recommended way to do it. It was just for this demo. I just wanted to swipe. I didn't even swipe that well, but the ideal way to actually do that is, again, query to that element and use X and Y coordinates, because that's a mini player, and I have the ID for it. So you should, in good practice, be doing that, and that's what I'll be doing for the actual code. I'm going to PR this into Clancy, clean this up, make it look nicer, and please go in and have a look at that and give me feedback, or just go in and contribute more code in there. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, and there's actually, I think, am I correct, there's a swipe to feature where you can put in, so you make sure you swipe to it?
Yep, you can swipe to it. You can swipe to takes in, or you can put in an element you want to target to, or like an X and Y coordinate you want to go to. Yep. I can just two more questions, I think, yeah.
We often find that when we're creating UI tests, they require timeouts.
Yeah.
That they work great on local machines and on our build server, but they fail continuously on App Center. Is there a way around that?
Let's come meet me at the booth. I'd love to see what exactly is going on. Yeah.
Is Xamarin UI test as framework actively maintained?
Because yes, yes.
I've heard something else and...
No. It is being actively worked on. Like it just updated to UI test 3.0, because now we have NUnit support 3.0. So yes, they are actively working on it.
Great.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all questions I can take right now. I'll be at the booth, so please come and find me and ask me all other questions that you have. I'd love to look at any UI test code that you need help with. Thank you so much.